Hello everyone, welcome home. Welcome to the Talk with the Zambian Child, hosted by me, Tevin Smart. Welcome to another exciting episode, guys, and today I am really excited. So this podcast is recorded before the actual Mother's Day, which is on Sunday. I decided to invite one of the mother figures I feel is really, really inspiring to me. This woman has fought battles. She's done a lot of work, and her support in my life has just been incredible. Her name is Jesse Musukwa. Hello, Jesse. Welcome. And don't forget, by the way, stay hydrated throughout the whole podcast as we talk about being a mother, and with the upcoming Mother's Day, of course, that must be a very important issue for all of us. How are African mothers? How can they balance their life and still remain as authentic as they need to be? All that is going to be covered today. So sit back, relax, and be comfortable in whatever sport you are in. So let's get right into it. How are you, Jesse?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, the first question I always want to ask my viewers is, what was your thought when I asked you to come and record this podcast with me?
I was honored, I won't lie, because obviously, as we discovered, I'm not biologically a mother.
Yep.
But I do have nieces and nephews, whatnot. So, yeah, it was an honor that you actually thought of me and wanted me to be part of your show. Obviously, I thought about, what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? But, yeah. It was really, yeah.
We're definitely glad to have you here. Okay. From your definition of being a mother, what do you think? How should people define a mother? Who is a mother, by the way?
Oh my god, a mother.
Yes.
You know, I always joke, and I do apologize if this offends anyone out there, but I always joke to say, God couldn't be everywhere, so he created.
That's nice. You
know? Yeah, he couldn't be everywhere physically.
Okay.
So he created mothers. I mean, who's the first person we run to? Or when we hurt ourselves, what's the first thing we say? Or, you know, if anything happens, it's mommy. Mommy, hi.
Yes, it is.
You know, that is that we have. So I don't know how I can actually describe what a mother is. A mother is home, you know?
Yes.
I think someone you feel like is home. You can go to her, she'll comfort you, she'll feed you, she'll scold you, she'll spoil you, and no matter what, we'll always protect you. Above all, we'll always love you. That's how I see what a mother is.
That's a really good definition. And I think just to really, really cover from what you've said, I think through this whole in trying to come up with the episode of being a mother, I really went to look at, and I found out that some people actually, the way you said you do not biologically have a children, but you are a mother figure to your nieces, to your nephews. You really, really do take care of them.
Yeah.
You believe the concept that is mostly being taught in Africa, and why they say a mother is only someone who gives birth to a child. You think that's too narrow for a definition of a mother?
It is. Because I could give birth to a child, but I mean, I'd be a mother to that child.
Yes.
You know, I could physically bring someone into the world, but I'm not a mother to them.
That's the thing.
I've got loads of different mother figures in my life. None of them biologically brought me into the world, but I have learned something from each and every single.
Yes.
I have looked up to each and every single one of them. My sisters, my aunts, my friends who are mothers. Yes, I have learned quite a lot from them as well. So just because you have not got biologically does not mean you cannot be a mother. That's how I feel it anyway.
That's really true, because I believe for me, I have a time when my mom was not around, but my auntie or my mom's best friend acted as my mom, and we had this good connection, and she's been one person, I think, if I'm not with my mom, I'm like, she's my second mom, she's the other mom that I have. And she, and we're not blood related, but she's still that mom that I can say, okay, this is my mom. So I feel also it's too narrow of a perception as the definition of what being a mother is all about. Okay. So there's this thing that goes on. I think first people really, really gauge mothers into this box, right? They gauge mothers into this box where, okay, if she's leaving, if she's leaving home, going for work without taking care of her children, she's a bad mom. If she's taking care of herself more than her children, she's a bad mom. No, if she's taking care of her children more and not doing her career, she's a bad woman. Okay, from your perspective, who is a bad mom and who is a good mom?
You know, I honestly think it's unfair that women have to fit in a certain box to be considered super moms or good moms. I have known all types of mothers, the working class mother, the stay-at-home mother, you know, and it's not fair to narrow it down to classify just one type of thinking. Like, I know women that work hard in good positions, in high ranking positions, and are brilliant mothers. They still make time for their kids. I know women that stay at home and are brilliant mothers. It's all about your niche, finding how you relate to the whole motherhood process.
Yes.
A woman in one box, a mother in one box is unfair. Like, we have working class mothers. Just because she wants to have her career and raise her kids, that doesn't, I mean, if she's not there for the child 100%, you know, then we can question that. But I know women that are waking up early in the morning, getting the kid, all that stuff, dropping, you know, school run, lunch, pick up the child, go home. In the evening, she gets home, she's looking at the child's homework, taking care of the husband, and doing her job. How is that not being a good mom? And on top of that, on weekends, spends time with the child. Yeah. And then there are other moms. I can't say stay-at-home moms because, again, that's another job.
You know? Yes, that's a really big job.
Another job is 24/7. It's a thankless job. It's a never-ending job. There's no holiday. There's no home time. You're constantly working as a mother, whether you're at work, whether you're at home or not, you're constantly working. So it's unfair to try and fit a mother into a box. That is what I think, anyway.
And tell the truth, it's really unfair because I really see it when my mom really gets up in the morning to prepare dad for work. Then she has to really do the chores, and we have to help her out. But when we were younger growing up, she had to do everything because at that point we were not even ready to be able to handle work effectively. She had to prepare us for school, she had to do what. But you find there's just that one point where she forgot to pick us up. She left the she left the water water and she just ran to pick up something, then I touched the water. Then you find keep calm and be like, oh, this, wow, you don't even know how to take care of kids. What kind of a mother are you? I believe that's so unfair to feed, to put them in that box.
It is. It isn't fair because even they get tired.
Definitely.
You find someone is expected, oh, newborn and maybe three other kids in the house, and you expect it to be on top of your game. How? I mean, they're only human. Mothers are only human. Human. So we need to normalize understanding on how mothers are meant to be these super people. And I expected to achieve so much, you know, for their kids, for themselves, for their husbands, for their homes. Like, give mom a break. Buy her a cup of tea. Tell her to put her feet up for like 5 seconds. Give her a break.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really a good way to do it. So I think through even the conversation we are having, you talked about where are their working moms and their moms that really do stay home, but really the work is actually at home. Then I think this week I had time to listen to one of the Zambian podcasters, Twambo. So I was listening to this part where it was saying motherhood. It was a podcast on motherhood. She said she was talking to one of her friends, and her friend were like, I don't know why people criticize us so much but never appreciate us for extinguishing our fire. And that really, really, really touched me, because I was like, extinguishing their fire. Because I believe mothers have put aside everything, have put aside their work, have put to raise kids. What do you believe society could do better to appreciate that, so that that fire that is extinguished, that they should take care of their child for a certain period.
Yeah, and be allowed back into society like, as a working person.
You know, how do you think society can do better?
We have a long way to go, I think.
Yes.
Because as society, we are raised with the belief of, especially still in some countries, woman is born and raised to be married and bear children. Yeah? But now things are changing, you know, you've got career moms and whatnot. I think the narrative needs to change, you know, how we look at things, it needs to change. A lot more support. Me going back into society doesn't mean I need to have a 9-to-5 job. Maybe I just want to start a business. Maybe I want to grow my hobby. You know, maybe I'm good at baking or crafting or something. It doesn't necessarily mean I want to go back to a 9-to-5 job, but I want to be known for something else other than just being Jole's mother. You know, that's the thing. Society needs to help us change the narrative, and it's true. We mothers put a lot aside. I think they sacrifice the most, because first of all, you're carrying this person for 9 months. You're carrying another human being in you for 9 months. That takes a whole toll on your body emotionally, physically. You know, it opens you, changes you as a person. And then that 9 months, you give birth full human little person, and then society will then again condemn you if you keep the baby fat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they don't wait. Oh, she's neglecting herself. Hello, she just had a baby. It's not gonna take 2 seconds. You know, and then again, it's you've given birth to this wonderful little person. that you still have to raise, and now you still have, now you have to start adapting to your new body. So it's a lot of things that go on that happen. I mean, I can't speak to it myself, like having gone through it, but it's something you see, something you've read, something you watch, you know, that women go through. So society needs to give us a leeway, space. They need to understand that, you know, we're more than just mothers, we're more than just women raised to their children and women to marry. There's much more to that. I don't know if I'm actually answering any of your questions, but yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
There's much more to a woman or a mother than just being a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Than just having the kids, yeah.
Okay, just before we go in, but do you, what can we as children also do to help our mothers through it?
To be honest, I think the most you can do is probably like make your mother's proud. A mother is proud regardless, I think. Of course, there's occasionally you disappointed your mother, blah 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 blah. Mothers are the most proud people you ever find in the world. Their child will take two first steps and the whole world will know about it. You know? Their child will be number one. Know about it. So it's, yeah, it's little things. It's little things that you can do. That's what mothers appreciate. The little things, the little things, the acknowledgement that, oh, mom, you know? Make up breakfast in bed. Tell her. Even when you're 18 or 21 and you don't want to be hugged in public, do it. You know? that's important. Tell her you're proud of the woman she is. I think those are things we neglect to tell our parents, and we realize too late to say, I never told my mom I love her, or I never told my mom how proud I am of the woman that she is. But I think those are little things that, you know, just a random hug. Go sit on her laps. Just remind her that, oh, I'm still your baby. She doesn't slap you, because we all know Zambian African parents are a whole breed.
When it comes to drama.
When it comes to drama. She just made the whole thing out of sitting on her laps. But you know. But yeah, it's little appreciation. The appreciation, I think.
That's really true. I think I'm going to get that list for Mother's Day. I think I'm going to do that for Mother's Day, because sometimes I feel we really neglect that.
Uh-huh.
And they're really putting their best to really put us at a level where we are at the moment.
Yes. And you know, it's like you don't even have to do something extravagant for her.
Yeah.
You know, just like a simple, even like a thank you, like a, yeah, spa day. So, you know, just something, just to show her that we see you, we love you, we appreciate you.
That's definitely all.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, so for you, let me just ask, how was your last year Mother's Day? Did your niece pamper you? I know she's little in that.
I don't even think she realized. You know, she is only six.
Yeah.
I don't think she realized, but I think we did like a lunch thing, so that was a big thing. Yeah, so it was a lunch thing, and you know, happy Mother's Day. There's always cake. You always need to have cake.
Cake is like, Mother's Day is like a birthday for all mothers. Cake is like the ultimate thing.
Always have to have cake. So yeah, so it was that that kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, obviously they don't consider me their mother per se, you know. They probably consider me their cool hype aunt.
Being an aunt.
Yes. But they always come to me and ask me, what should we do, Mom? What should we do for Mom for Mother's Day? And it's heartwarming when they ask. They call and they're like, oh, what do you think Mom will like for Mother's Day? And I'm like, oh, that's cute. At least you're, you know, you're seeing how hard your mother works. So yeah, it's, I don't know how this mother.
Okay.
I'm getting a celebration. So, but it's yeah, it's just a good thing all around. Like she always would flowers, I would say. She always gives me flowers and always compliments me, and she always tells me how pretty my hair is. How beautiful my dress is. So yeah,
that's really hard work. I can't wait for my nephew to grab and tell me, uncle, you look good.
Yeah, the thing of, oh, Auntie Jess, I like your hair. And I'm like, oh, and I know it's coming from a genuine place.
Yes, it is.
She's innocent, so it's coming from a genuine place. Yeah, so it's good.
Okay, so we've actually seen that there's been a rise in early pregnancies, and we've seen there've been movement, there've been talks. We've seen the Minister of Gender, the Minister of Health are really, really trying their best to extinguish this early pregnancy. But what do you think, what ways could we as a society or as fellow, let's say as parents, as what do you think we could do to support young mothers or any mother that's just upcoming, but let's mostly consider first young mothers? How could we support those?
First of all, we need to get into a habit of stop shaming them.
Okay.
Yeah, and some it's a mistake, some it's deliberate, some it's because they want to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, this person has chosen to be a mother, you know, early. Not easy, obviously, but you have to try and understand where you're coming from, you know. I'm in a self-discovery zone, if that makes sense. And I've learned that we as a people are so quick to judge. We're so quick to, oh my God, why did she do that? It's not easy being a mother.
It's not.
Especially being a young mother with no support system. I don't think it's easy. So we need, we need maybe more awareness around the subject, more sensitization around the subject, and we just need to be open to talk about sex with our children.
Yeah.
With our young adults, we need to be open enough to talk about it so that they can understand the consequences of, if you have sex, unprotected sex, this is what's going to happen. This is the situation.
I think we're lacking in that aspect.
We are. There's this whole taboo thing that surrounds talking to teenagers about sex or your children about sex. Oh, I can't let my children learn about sex, blah, 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 blah. But are you helping them? No. Because if you tell someone, don't do that, they're going to do it. Because they want to know.
That's so true.
Yeah, they want to know, why are they telling you not to do it? I am going to do that. You know what I mean? So we need to having these conversations. We need to normalize having the sexual talk conversation. Just the I'm glad I did sex. I mean, I could say stay celibate, you know, abstinence? Abstain from it, you know, abstain from sex. I could tell you that, and I could still come back and tell you, smart, you know what, Devin? This is how it is. If you have sex, you produce sperm, which will go into a girl's egg, and you have a child. So there's one or three or ways of how to do this. You can either not have sex, have protected sex, or you know, and we need to normalize that conversation. I think that is where we need to start from, because if we don't normalize that conversation, we'll keep on going over this cycle over and over again, because that is the root. Normalize the sexual talk conversation and then move on from there. Educate the young people. There's no shame in it, you know? And then sometimes maybe we might need a harsh reality. Show them. You know, there's no shame in it. My older nieces and nephews, I'm taking them and saying, look, if you have a child at a young age, this is the situation you'll be in. Scare them.
Yeah, because I think that reality actually hits you at that point.
Take them to these areas and say, look at your friend. You know, you could have stayed in school, finished school, done whatever, but she decided to have sex and got pregnant. Now look, she's raising a child. She has to get married. Because then, in these cases, she gets pregnant, they take her to the man's house and leave her there. Then she becomes the housewife. You know what I mean?
Yes, and that's really tough.
Yes, and she's young. She doesn't know what she's getting into. So it's we need, as society, we need to start with sensitizing and educating our young ones about the importance of safe sex or abstinence. That for me is where it needs to start from. Then from there we can move forward into other things. Because we can't educate them about how to take care of their children without educating them on how to prevent them from having their children while they're still young and, you know. Yeah. So, that's all I can say.
Okay, and I think the part where you said we should stop shaming, we should give them support, I believe that really hit me hard when my sister came home one day and they discovered that she was pregnant. And this was someone who just had like done her grade 12. Everybody was preparing for her to go to university. It's really, first, it's a really hard pill to swallow. Like, you as the person who's just a relative to that person, now imagine the person is actually carrying the child.
Exactly.
And I think the first month was really hard for everybody, just for everybody to talk, for everybody to really just communicate with one another. But I think we go to a relation where we said, I think my parents go to a relation where they said, okay, this is our child. We want to groom her. And at the end of the day, she can have this kid and we can upgrade her to education like later after that.
Yeah.
And I believe that really helped. I think at this point, she's more happy at the moment that people like mom and dad actually gave her time to support her, to really be around her.
So it was that support. You know,
it will.
You know, and that's what most of these young girls lack, the support, the understanding. Because you come home pregnant at 17, dear God, you won't hear the end of it. Even the aunt that you never knew from the village is going to have a
And if the mom was sassy at every party and their child got pregnant, okay, that becomes even worse. That's so true.
But you know, that's the thing. Instead of you saying, watch Mona, you know, why not turn around and educate this young girl to be a good mom? Support her.
Yes.
You don't have to support her financially, but you know, talk to her. You know, it happened, it happened. Yes, we can get scolded at, scold the child, talk to the child, you know, be stern with her, show your disappointment, but let it end there and then. Don't let the disappointment carry on 4 or 5 months later. No. Talk about it, air it out, and move on. What is the next solution? You know, let's normalize moving on. Let's stop shaming people or making them feel less than. You know,
that's really true.
Yeah.
Okay,
and your parents for supporting your sister, they must have gotten flack from people for doing it.
Definitely.
But at that particular point, your sister was a priority for your parents. And they supported her, and obviously she's a good mom for it, I'm assuming.
She has literally grown through the support.
You see? She's grown through the support, and she's going to learn, and I'm assuming she's learned from this.
She's learned, yeah. She's really just sat down and be like, I won't have a child 50 years from now.
You see, there's lessons to be learned in everything, but there's also it also takes the lesson cannot be learned if you constantly shaming the person. So you can have a conversation where you speak your disappointment, if it's shouting at someone, blah 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 blah, and it ends. The next conversation you should be having is, what next? What do we do? Don't have the same conversation 6 months down the line. It's unfair to keep reminding someone of their mistakes. I mean, as everyone always says, the child is a blessing. Though we may call them little mistakes, but you know, a child is a blessing.
So you
take
that
blessing and, you take that blessing and you move on. It's happened, you deal with what you need to deal with there and then. Take a month or two to process it and move on. So,
And just to add on from the sex talk you talk about, I think today I was actually watching a daily pop on E! And it was really a topic when they said when Gwyneth Paltrow's kids had to learn about sex in elementary school.
Yeah.
And she's like, she was happy that he did that. And I believe if we could just maintain such a culture where, because the thing is this, we are learning this through internet. We are learning this through our friends. We've got other minds, like, we've got other intentions. So we're learning these topics from, instead from our own culture background, our own parents, the own people who raised us. And I think if we could just reduce that part and really talk, the thing is, I think this is why even relationships are really hard, because we don't talk, like, really, like, we feel like talking is a problem.
It's like you're not supposed to be friends with your parents. You're supposed to fear them. How are you going to learn anything? You know? I'm not saying your mother is supposed to be your best friend, no. But yes. Until you are at a certain age where you can discuss things with your best friend, your mother should be your best friend.
Yeah.
You know, your father, you should be able to go to your mother or your father and ask a question and not be scared that they'll backhand you to North Korea. Yeah, so like the whole discussion of sex in elementary school, that is really a controversial topic, because I think some schools have started here. I think, I'm not too sure. There was one group I was in that was a conversation, and it wasn't received well, you know, by parents.
From parents. Yes, it was.
It wasn't received well because kids are too young to be learning about such things. But what are they watching on YouTube?
That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't really speak to that. I think I don't know. But yeah, it's a controversial topic.
It definitely is. But I
because
think, okay.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I get you. I get you on that part. Okay, so I am a boy child, and I think I have seen other boys really not give respect to their moms, really devalue their moms because how their dad is treating them, telling them a woman is supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What could we as a boy child, what could we change with regarding our mothers at that high esteem?
I know exactly what you mean, and I've seen it, where the children are so disrespectful to the mother because of the way the dad talks to the mother.
Yes.
I think that is also what a father needs to do. That comes back to upbringing, you know, because as children, we learn by seeing and hearing. So whatever we're hearing from our parents is how we see life, is how we see a relationship. So you need to break that cycle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You need to break that cycle. Yes, dad may just sit, come in from work, sit, expect mom to do everything, and still scream at mom in front of us. But you need to break that cycle. You need to say, okay, but this is not how I see my friend's dad treating my friend's mom. So you need to break that cycle. I mean, I know it's probably not easy to do because that's what you're seeing, and you're obviously not going to get up and go to your dad and say, hey dad, you can't be treating mom like that, because he's going to knock you out. Let's just be honest. But yeah, I think it's a cycle that we need to break, you know. And I think maybe in some places it's breaking, you know, but it's also how society has raised us, if you think. The man is the head of the household, and therefore he can do no wrong. And the woman is supposed to be meek and submitted. I'm just saying this out of my head. I'm not quoting anyone, please.
Yes.
But yeah, that's just how it is. So these are things that we need to break cycles of, society norms, and it's just things that we need to break and change and move with the times. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so mostly our topic has mostly been about balance this whole, we've done it April, now we're in May. What we're trying to find is trying to build a balance first, because I think most people really lack balance. People just get into things without finding a balance. So how do you believe mothers could really find a balance between being a mom and their life and still have time to build their career?
They need to learn to enjoy themselves.
Sure.
That's what I'm going to say. Just because you're a mother, it doesn't mean you can't have a girl's night out. You know, it doesn't mean you can't have a weekend away with the girls or just you and hubby. Dump the kids. Jesus Christ, you can't be with them 24/7. You know?
Yes.
Because they will burn out. Mothers burn out because they do so much. They will burn out, but they need to find what makes them happy. A hobby, something, a book, read a book, have a hobby, you know, something, or have a series that you watch, something. Make it a point to have a girls' weekend or a girls' date night with your girls, you know, just you and the girls. Maybe maybe once in 2 months, meet up with the girls, just, you know, have a good time. It's important to know when to leave the house, if that makes sense. It's important to know when to say, okay, mama's tired. You're not supposed to be superheroes. And husbands need to understand that mamas need vacations too. You know, they need leave days too.
They do need leave days.
Yeah, they need leave days too. They need 72 hours to just not be mom. It's important.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's what I would say. Always make time for yourself. Even if it's a bubble bath, lock yourself in the bathroom, sit in the bathtub for an hour, or a good TV show.
Yes.
It's okay. You know, look, burn some candles, play some soft music, sleep. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. Because if you don't take care of yourself as a mother, how are you going to take care of the rest of the house?
That's really true. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for really taking time to talk to us about being a mom, about Mother's Day preparation, how to balance, how we can support young mothers. And now we can start topics that are really controversial to society. Before we keep our closing remarks, could you at least recommend a movie and a book for our moms and the kids out there? Anyone, just say a book and a movie for Friday. Well, yeah.
A Friday movie?
Yes.
Oh my God. What can I recommend that is a good movie? I like, you know what I like? You know who I am. You know I'm a superhero person.
Yes.
I'm annoyed to feel because I've had no superhero movies out for a while. But yes. I also like the occasional Hallmark movie. You know, the ones that don't make sense. The ones with the always happy ending. You return to your little hometown and, you know, you find the love of your life that never left the hometown. Those kind of movies. The feel-good movies, yeah. I would recommend something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a book?
A book? Wow. What am I reading right now?
Right now, I've got... At the moment, you are a wide reader. Let's just give her a hand, but guys, she can read like So we need a book. We need a book from you.
I've actually gone back to one of my old ones. I just went to revisit an old book. I'm reading Nora Roberts' Three Fates. So I'm reading. Yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment. But what book can I recommend? There's this one book I've had for some time. Never Have Sex on a Tuesday.
Okay.
If you can find that book, read it. It's a good laugh. It's a very feel good, happy, go lucky book. But yeah. That is me.
Thank you for that. And before and we are thank you for those books, for the movie. So guys, you've heard Hallmark movies. Try to soak yourself in during this Mother's Day. Soak yourself in with either your boyfriend, your husband, your friend,
even yourself
guys. Yes, we've really, because this whole thing is about, we shouldn't be so codependent on people.
No.
let us learn to actually be in our own space sometimes. So, Jesse.
Some nice wine, chocolate.
Yeah.
Lock yourself away. Nobody even needs to know where you are.
That's so true. We are asking for your closing remarks. For that mother out there, that child out there. For that youth out there, for anybody out there.
One thing I will say is in everything you do, be honest with yourself, be true to yourself, and always trust people for who they are. Don't put expectations on anyone, just trust them for who they are. And most importantly, no regrets. No regrets. Live your life with no regrets. You can regret it for 2 seconds, but goddamn it, don't live your life with regrets. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for that, Jesse. And guys, you know what we do to every person who comes on our show? We test them by giving them a game. So let's know how well Jesse knows women in Zambia and places in Zambia.
Oh my God, hey guys, no, don't, no.
It's game time. So Jesse,
oh my God. You know I'm bad.
We know, we just want to see who Jesse Musukwa is with regard to Zambia.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you hints for places and people. So you just need to guess who they are. And to end or to break the ice, we're going to give you a redo at the end, an African redo.
Oh my God.
So the first person, she was the first lady of Zambia, locally called the mother of Zambia, and was born in Pika. Who is she?
Betty Kaunda?
Betty Kaunda, that's correct. The second lady once served as the Minister of Health from August 2005 to October 2006. And when she served as Minister of Tourism and Art in the reign of Michael Chilufya-Sata, she was charged with abuse of office. Who is she?
I want to say it's in Kandaluo.
No.
I don't know.
Guys, we all know the one person who served as Minister of Tourism is Sylvia Matheo.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God.
So you shouldn't.
You know I'm horrible.
The next woman has a PhD in microbiology and she's regarded as a professor. Currently serves as the Minister of Livestock and Fisheries and once served as the Minister of Higher Education and gave university students a tough time. Who is she?
Isn't that in Kandaluo?
Correct, in Kandaluo. Oh.
It's the last of fisheries thing.
You know, when it's higher education, the one who gave the toughest time was Kandaluo.
Yeah.
This next lady, she was a previous managing director of Barclays Bank, and she was the first female and African to be a managing director at Barclays Bank. She's a former Minister of Commerce and currently serves as the Lusaka Central MP. Who is she?
Her name is totally gone, but I know her. I can see her face.
And you know her accent.
Her name is totally gone. I'm sorry.
Guys, just disappointing us. It's Margaret Manakatwe.
Thank you. I can see her face.
Okay, so at this point, we'll travel a bit and check out Zambian places. The first Zambian place we're going to is, it's a small town in Copperbelt, located near the Democratic Republic of Congo border. It's a place which means the croaking frog. And it's home to Kola Copper Mine. What's the name?
I don't know.
Okay, that is one. It's Chilawombwe.
I wanted to say Chingola.
No. Chingola doesn't mean that.
Don't. Okay, let's try one more.
We still have three more. We are not even writing one more. We still have three more places to go to, Jesse. So you have to tag in and be ready for this podcast.
Oh, God. Disclaimer. Disclaimer.
So this next detail is from Mr. Headquarters in Northern Province. And it's known for the Stone Age rock art, which is found there. And it's home to Chishimba Falls. What's the name of the place? Okay, guys, Jess is really, really sucking at this.
We should have started with a disclaimer. I'm just saying.
I think we should have.
Okay, just keep me out of my misery.
Well, the place is Kasama.
Oh my god, that's where I'm from.
What? Well, I don't know how she speaks Kasama very well, and she really does. Forgot about Kasama. Wow.
We should have started with a disclaimer, I'm telling you. Okay.
This next place, it's in Central Province. It's home to Tazara Station, and it's in the middle of Zambia, next to Copperbelt border, and it's where most accidents have happened due to the fact that the bus is turning. What's the name of the place?
I want to say Kapiri.
Correct, Kapiri Mposhi. You see, one place to go. This next place, it's a place of it means a place of abundance and peace. It's a town in Copperbelt, the birthplace of Kalusha Walia. And in the 1960s, Fred Bikchuluba lived there.
So,
correct, Mufrila is the answer.
Oh, come on.
So, to break
so, everything. At least I got two.
Yes, huh? You got two for women and two for places.
Not bad.
No, we're still clapping for you.
If someone knew, I mean, if your audience knew who I was, they would have
been. I know, if they actually knew where and where you're coming from and everything, they'll be like, okay, she's done well. She's done very good.
But a disclaimer, guys. The disclaimer attached here.
Okay. The rhythm. It.
Oh, God, no.
I am born tall, but I die very short. I am used inside the house. Who am I?
A broom?
No, I am born tall, but I die very short. I'm used
a candle.
Correct, a candle is the answer. So just you got 5 points. Thank you for being on our show, Jesse, and we had fun with you through the games, the interviews, and for you out there, guys, you've heard it from let's try to support our young mothers. Let's try to, and I hope you guys will be listening to this on Friday. We'll have a lovely time with your mothers on Mother's Day. And please give us your description of how your Mother's Day was on our Instagram page at Zambian Child Tevin Smart, or you can email us directly at thetalkwiththezambianchild21@gmail.com. So thank you guys. From me and Jesse, bye.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day, by the way. I know you'll be listening to this later, but happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you so much.
See you, Jesse. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.